Be'ezus Hashem Yisbo'chu begin Hilchas Malva, the Levit laws of the lender and the borrower in the Sefer Mishpat in the Book of Judgment, the third out of the five halachas that are in this Sefer, which Yesh Bechalon Yud Beis Mitzvahs, in the category there's 12 commandments, Arba Mitzvahs Aseh, 4 positive commandments, Ushmein Mitzvahs Loisaseh, and 8 negative prohibitions, Bezeh Peratan, and these are the specifics. Aleph number 1, Lahalvis La'ani B'mach, to lend to a pauper, to someone who's destitute. Base number 2, Shleigoy Seisei. One should not oppress him to go and claim money from him, and he knows he doesn't have money to give him back. Gimel number 3, Ligoy Seisei, to oppress the Gentile for the debt that he owes him. Dal number 4, Shlei Mashkin Balchid Bezroy. One should not take collateral from a creditor, from the debtor forcibly. Hey number 5, Lahakza Mashkin Balab, to give back the collateral to its owner, Bizmachu Tzarkle, at a time when he needs it. His day garment at daytime, his night garment at nighttime. Vav number 6, Shlei Achar Mashkin Mibu'olab Ha'ani, not to delay this giving the collateral of the owner, Ha'ani the pauper, Be'eshru Tzarkle, at a time when he needs it. Zayin number 7, Shlei Achbal Amona, not to take collateral from a widow. Ches number 8, Shlei Achbal Kelim Shoisme Mechon Nefesh, not to take collateral of vessels that are used for the making of food. Test number 9, Shleitin Hamalva Beribis, that the lender should not give the money with interest. Yud number 10, Shlei Yilva Haleva Beribis, that the borrower should not borrow on interest. Yud Aleph number 11, Shlei Yisasek Odom, no man should be engaged Beimalva Valeva Beribis, between a lender and a borrower who are doing it with interest. Meaning Shlei Yod Benein should not testify between them, Shlei Yichter Shtar shouldn't write a document for them, Shlei Yadavis should not be a guarantor. And Yud Beis number 12, Lilvis Min Goyu Lahalvis Le Beribis, to borrow and to lend with a Gentile on interest. Ubeir mitzvah zeh, an explanation of these commandments of the perek mila on these chapters, which there are 27 chapters. This perek, the perek alf, discusses the laws of lending and of collecting the loan. The perek beis and gimel discuss regarding the oath that the borrower takes and taking collateral from him. Perek daltir discuss the laws of ribis, of interest, of lending on charging more than what the actual loan was. Perek alf to perek zayin discuss regarding the payment of a debt and its collection in unique circumstances and situations. Perikut Ches to Chaf Alf discusses regarding Shibin Nechasim, the encumbering of the estate, and the laws of precedence, who comes first regarding its collection. Perik Chabez discusses regarding the order of collection in the courts. Perik Chaf Gimel to Chaf Dalad discusses the laws of documents. Chaf He and Chaf Alf discuss the laws of Arvis, of being a guarantor. And Perik Chaf Zayin discusses that of the remedy of the documents, which in this parak, we begin parak Rishon, the first chapter discussing the laws of loans and its collection. As Rambam gets halacha alf regarding this mitzvah of loans and the prohibition of negi of leigos, of oppressing and forcing the collection. Mitzvah saseh lahavis lani Yisrael. It's a positive commandment to lend to the poor of the Jewish people. Shemek says the pasuk in Shemais, im kesev talvas ami, if money you can lend my people, as ani imach the pauper with you. Now yochel Rishos, you would think based on the wording of the pasuk, it's voluntary, it's volitional. It says if tamalim, that it says in the pasuk havei tavitenu devarim, lend you shall surely lend the person. It's not an option. Umitzazu, and this mitzvah of lending is gedol min tzedakah elo ani hashel. It's more than the charity that you give to the pauper who is asking for a handout. Shazek for Nitzakhlishal. This pauper already needs to ask for a handout. I mean, this person has yet not gotten to that level, and you could maintain him by giving him a loan. But Torah Hikpida, and the Torah is very particular, Misha Imonim al Havas Lani, for someone who holds back from lending money to a pauper. Shnamak says in the Pasi, Vero in Chobo Chicho Evian Begoimer, and your eye is going to be stingy in your destitute brother, etc., which it says you're not going to give him, and he's going to call to God, and it's going to be considered for you a sin. Halacha Beis. Whoever presses the pauper to pay back, and he knows that the pauper doesn't have what to pay back, even to say he violates a negative prohibition to him, like it says the pasuk in Shemais, you should not be to him like a creditor. Now it's a positive commandment to press the Gentile to pay back, to oppress him. Like it says in the pasuk in the bottom, to the Gentile you should press. From tradition, they learned Shadum to say this is actually a positive commandment to get back your debt on time from the Gentile. Halacha Gimel. Asal Adam Laharis Atzmei Labal Chayv. A person is forbidden to show himself to his debtor, Bizman Shiyadeh Shainle, at a time when he knows that the debtor doesn't have what to pay him back. I feel lavrel upon him, even to just pass by in front of him. Shalayef Chidu, that he should not frighten him or Yechlim or embarrass him. Afpishen Tev, even though he's not even claiming him from him the money. To say if he's claiming him, meaning if let's say he had claimed it from him and he knows he doesn't have and he claims him, that it's forbidden to go ahead and pass in front of him. Now it goes both ways, this relationship. Just like he's not allowed to claim from the pop, from the borrower who doesn't have what to pay back, so it's also forbidden by the borrower to hold back the money of his friend that he has by him, to tell him, lech v'shub, go and come back, but he really has the money to pay him back. And like it says the pasuk in Mishlah, don't tell your friend, go and come back and I'll give it to you later. No, if you have, you have to pay it back. So the lender can't oppress him, but the borrower can't oppress the lender. So too, it's forbidden for a borrower to take a loan and to spend it unnecessarily and to create a loss for the lender. To what the creditor doesn't have where to collect from, even though the lender is a wealthy person. But he said, whoever does that, he borrows and he just throws away the money. Rashahu, he's a wicked person. Shem like says in the pasuk in Tilim, labor Rasha, a wicked person borrows, a belay shalom, and doesn't pay back. But Tzibach Chacham and the sages and others commanded, Yimam and Chaber Chachav Alecha Kishalach. The money of your friend should be as dear to you as your own. Alecha Dalek continues regarding the collection of a loan. Kishayit Bahamav Alvasa, when the lender is claiming his loan, Apisha Asha, even if it's a wealthy person, Valeva, and the borrower on the other hand is Dachak, he's pressed, but Tarad, and he's perturbed by Mazayin, is trying to get money for food. I don't have mercy and compassion in the judgment. You rather collect the debt of the for the wealthy person until the last penny from every movable item that the borrower has. But he doesn't have enough movable items. Then you collect from his property after only that you made an excommunication. If someone does have metalim, movable items, or misha yedu metalim, or anyone who knows that he has movable items, believe the yim lebezne, it doesn't bring it to courts because first you collect from metalim. So we don't know, so we make a cheirim, okay, and if no one comes forward after the cheirim that there's metalim, then they go and collect from the karka. The goyim call karka sheishli, collect from any property that he has. Apisha mishabedis lik suba sheishli, even though it's already been set aside, and there's a lien on it for his wife's ksuba, ilabal chayve shakadam, or even for a prior creditor who borrowed before this guy is coming to collect. But that lender, his time of payment has not yet come. So the ksuba is not being collected yet when he's still alive. Goyven lezeh, you collect for this guy right now, is collecting now. And that earlier creditor and the wife cannot hold back. Now, the miyavahid, you should be yitra, if the first one, I mean the wife, who hard lien is prior, so to that earlier creditor, comes and collects, yitra, then they collect. But this guy could collect for now, up until they collect. Now, let's say the borrower claims these movable items that I have by me, they're not my own. It's a deposit that someone put by me, or it's rented, or it's borrowed. In Shemile, we don't list them because we have a presumption whatever it is by a person is his own. So either brings a proof that it's his, or the creditor could collect from those movable items. Either he brings a proof that it's not his, or that, and if he doesn't, then we could collect from him. Halacha hey. A creditor cannot collect not from the garments of his wife and the kids of the borrower, and not even from the colored garments that he already was dyed it for them, even though he didn't give it to them yet, even if they didn't wear it yet. So too, even from the new shoes that he bought for their purpose. In that regard, it's already considered like theirs, which the creditor does not collect from. Now, the medrash moment, when we say this, when it's weekday clothing, that is theirs, and they're not the debtors of bigdei Shabbos v'hamoed. But if it's Shabbos clothing and Yom Tov clothing, then the creditor could collect from them. The reason for that is since they're very distinguished garments and they're not used every single day, the husband doesn't really give it as a full-fledged gift to his wife and kids with the intention that he cannot sell it if he needs to, and therefore that actually could be collected. It's still considered the husband's. And then Tzarek Lamed up to say, if they had rings, or some golden or silver vessels, that all goes to the creditor because the husband doesn't give it totally. He knows that if he needs it, he's going to take those rings and those golden silver vessels and he's going to sell it if he needs it, so it's still considered his, so the creditor could collect from that. If this debtor had multiple items or properties, but he has outstanding debts to Gentiles, and he says, all my properties, they're encumbered, there's a lien on it to the Gentiles who I owe money to. And my Jewish creditors are going to take them for the debts I owe them. So the Gentiles, for the debts I owe them, they're going to lock me up in jail. I'm going to be a captive because they're not going to have a way to collect from. Says the Rambam, my teachers have ruled, we don't listen to that Jewish debtor. The Yigva Israel, the Jews could collect. And when the Gentiles come and lock him up in jail, how do you call yourself and someone up? Every single Jew then commanded to redeem him. The mitzvah to save him is not going to be just on the creditor to say that he can't and not collect. It'll be on every single Jew to then have to redeem him. Halacha Zayin, regarding the order of collection of what we take from the debtor. We organize for the creditor, just like we organize when it comes to someone takes the Erech vow, which he has to give to Hekdesh, that amount of money that he owes, which there is a certain order how we do that. Same thing goes to this debtor in regards to paying back his lender. So So you tell the borrower like this, bring every movable item that you have. Don't leave even one needle in your house. Okay, brings everything there. But then you give him, the borrower, from everything that he brought, the minimum that he gets to keep. The food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, from clothing that's appropriate for him, meaning that he shouldn't be wearing silk garments, or a hat woven with gold. If that's the type of clothing he has, we remove that from him. But and we give him a garment that's fit for him, what he has to wear for 12 months. That which is more expensive, we're going to use for the payments. Umita leisha b'leah, a bed slash couch for him to sit on. Umita matzah horuin leishna leim, and regarding a bed and a mattress that fits for him to sleep on them. Now, v'moya on, if he was a pauper, then not mita matzah, but rather mita umapetz leishna leim. A mappetz is a thicker type of a mattress that's woven from reeds, which paupers would sleep on. So he can't claim he wants a good mattress because he's a pauper. He doesn't need that type of quality. So he has a bed and a cheaper mattress to sleep on. Now we don't leave these types of vessels and garments for his wife and his kids. Because even though the husband's obligated to feed them, but that's not the responsibility of the lender to support his wife and kids, and therefore that is still going to be part of the collection. And you leave for him, for the man at least, his sandals and his tefillin. Now, if he was a craftsman, you leave him two of the vessels of the craft, we call minimum from every single type. Let's say he was a carpenter. So you leave him two awls, or magedas, or two planes, meaning from every type of tool that he has, you leave him two of each. Let's say from one type he had like 12 of these awls. And he has a small amount of one. So you only give him two of the one that is many. Whatever he has from the little one, let's say he only has one plane, that you give him that amount, whatever he has. You don't go and buy vessels from the value of the one that he had more of. We don't sell that third awl to buy a saw with that vessel so that they should have two saws, because even before they only had one. So whatever you have, there's a max of two of each one, but if it's less, it's less. If he was a farmer, a chamar, or a donkey driver, here, ain't nicely, you don't give him light simday, you don't give him his team of the cattle for his farming. You don't give him his donkey to ride on. So to v'chein ma'ayis happen if he was a sailor. You don't give him his boat to say that, oh, this is his tool of his trade. Because even though he only gets, there's only a parnasa, is from these. They're not his tools of his trade. El nechasim, they're assets. His trade is not to utilize that. He utilized that for his trade, but it's not actually the tools of the trade. And therefore, they're sold with other mobile items in the courts. That's given to the creditor. He can still be a sailor without his boat. He just needs a boat to do it for. It's unlike the tools that you need to do when you're a carpenter for the actual trade itself. If land is coming to get paid up, not in front of his borrower. Let's say the borrower is in a faraway country. Now, the wife of the borrower has grabbed movable items from the assets of her husband, that she could use for providing for herself, because her husband is very far away. We actually take it away, those movable items, from the wife, but this machab, we give it to the creditor. Why? Even if her husband was with her, he wouldn't be able to provide food for his wife and his kids until he pays back his debt, as we said in Halacha Zayin. And therefore, now that he's away, that definitely does not give the wife the right to collect from the Zionists, when even if the husband was there, the creditor would be able to take it. And therefore, we take it for the creditor and don't leave it for the wife.